Welcome to the Turning Point Church podcast. We pray that this message takes root in your heart and bears fruit in your life. For additional messages and other resources, you can visit us at www.tpoint.church.
Exodus chapter 14, let's go there quickly. Exodus 14, we read from this last week, we're going to move forward with it. We read starting in verse 10, if you remember, and let me catch up for those of you who were not here, but we read in verse 10, we read down to 13 and 14, and this was Israel's response to being caught between the Red Sea and Pharaoh's army and having nowhere to go. The word says that they could have either climbed or swam. That was about the only choices that they had. They were surrounded by peaks on sides, and Pharaoh was behind them. They had nowhere to go. They had no retreat planned. It's interesting how what may look like no retreat to us or no way out is the place of the miraculous with God. Where it looks like there's no way out, that's the opportunity for God to do something incredible, for a true miracle to take place. It's generally not in the times where we can see multiple answers. It's when our back is against the wall and we're like, I don't know how anything can change. I don't know if there's any hope for this. That's the opportunity. Those are the times where God delights in doing the possible. Where it's, check this out. He did something miraculous, and that's what I want to go to this morning, and that's starting with verse 21. We're still in chapter 14 of Exodus, and starting in verse 21. Let's stand together one more time as we read this. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord swept the sea back by a strong east wind all night and turned the sea into dry land, so the waters were divided. That's miraculous enough. But the sons of Israel then went through the midst of the sea on dry land, and the waters were like a wall to them on their right hand and their left. And I'll stop here just for a quick commentary, because there are those that would argue, historians that would argue, that it was just shallow enough for the wind to move back the waters and to cross, but it was shallow. But if you look back at the possible crossings, either of the places that are possible crossings, it was deep enough, so deep, first of all, that it could be walls of water on either side, and deep enough to swallow an entire army when the waters came back. Then the Egyptians took up the pursuit, and all of Pharaoh's horses, his chariots and his horsemen, went in after them into the midst of the sea. And it came about at the morning watch that the Lord looked down on the army of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and cloud, and brought the army of the Egyptians into confusion. And he caused their chariot wheels to swerve, and he made them drive with difficulty. So the Egyptians said, "Let us flee from Israel, for the Lord is fighting for them against the Egyptians." Even the enemy knows when God's at work. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand over the sea so that the waters may come back over the Egyptians, over their chariots and their horsemen." So Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to its normal state at daybreak, while the Egyptians were fleeing right into it. Then the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. The waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen, even Pharaoh's entire army that had gone into the sea after them. Not even one of them remained. But the sons of Israel, they walked on dry land through the midst of the sea, and the waters were like a wall, again on their right and on their left. Thus the Lord Israel was saved that day from the hand of the Egyptians. And when Israel saw the great power which the Lord had used against the Egyptians, the people feared the Lord. And they believed in the Lord and in his servant Moses. When Israel saw the great power of the Lord. And we say amen to the reading of God's word. Amen. You can be seated. There's just some things that I want to highlight just for a few minutes here this morning. It is good to water what God is doing. It's good to water it. Some plant, some water, but God brings the increase. So in order for the planting of God and for the fruit of God to have its best potential and its best chance of success, we've got to water it. We've got to water it. It's not just enough to plant the seed. There must be watering on top of it. And if you'll allow me this morning to continue to water what God has been doing and what he has been speaking. There are some phrases that continue to roll in my spirit even as I'm reflecting over what God is doing and also pursuing what God is about to do. That is phrases like a new normal, which came out of the Red Conference. That was one of the sessions there. It's become more than just a session title. It's become an understanding for us as a people of God. A new normal. Last week, talking about an available reality that is to other. And when we come to praise God for the new norm when we gather. And when we come together, we've even talked about it as a staff, and it is glorious. Man, we're so glad to be here. We believe God still has more that he wants to do. When we come together, we believe that greater things are still to be done in us and in this city. We believe it with our whole heart. And there is something that we cannot afford to fall into the trap of, and that is that the new normal only is a new normal in church. That it's just the new normal at church, and that there's fresh things that are happening. And believe me, this is exactly what I want to happen. This is what we've prayed to happen. This is what we've been believing for. Look, we are in the midst of revival. Did you know that? Did you know that? Sometimes we can't see it right away when it starts happening, but there are things that are being revived. And I love when God revives things, because when he revives it, he doesn't revive it just to continue to be the old thing. He revives it to be a new thing. Amen. Behold, the old has passed away. All things have become new. So as much as we're celebrating what God is doing in our services, for it to be truly a new normal, it has to be more than just a new normal for the church. There must be a new normal for life. There must be. There must be. My pastor says it all the time. Pastor Johnny says it all the time. He didn't say I've come that you might have church. I didn't come that you might have better services. I've come that you might have better lives. Praise God for what he does for our lives in these services. And I will never negate or belittle what God does when the people of God come together. Whew, one of my favorite things in the world, like I said, I look forward to the times that we get to be in the house of God together. Man, some of the greatest things that I've seen have happened in those occasions. But also some of the greatest things that I've seen were never in a church service. The new normal that came into the book of Acts when the Holy Spirit was released upon humanity was a new normal that law and religion couldn't get to happen. Law and religion couldn't get everybody at the temple every single day and breaking bread from house to house. And as much as anyone had need, there was NBA apply for it. It wasn't healings and miracles and signs and wonders being done by the hands of apostles and then being done by hands of waiters and waitresses at tables. The new normal that came into the earth. The Pharisees, as much as they longed for it and wanted everybody to be at the temple every single day, couldn't make it happen. It was a new normal that came into the life of the church. And so the reason to be at the temple every day was not because they were holding special services. They couldn't stay away from each other, and they couldn't stay away from the presence of the Lord. And it wasn't just happening in the temple, but it was happening in the streets and in the market and from house to house. It was happening on the porch of the temple, for crying out loud. It was happening everywhere. It was happening everywhere. Why? Because when a new normal, a true new normal, and an experience, an encounter with God comes, it affects everything. 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 God will leave no stone unturned and no part of our lives untouched if we will allow him. He'll turn it all over, all upside down. And the beautiful thing about it is you'll wonder what life was like beforehand, and you'll wonder, how in the world did I live without this for so long? Come on, somebody. When Jesus really starts to get a hold of your life and these things begin to happen, all of a sudden, then new normal becomes more than a phrase. It becomes life. Life, life, life. Listen to how often he talks about life. He's come that we might have life more abundantly. These words are spirit and life. He called himself, I am the way, the truth, and the life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting what?
Life.
My goodness. That gives life. The flesh profits nothing. What he has made for us is he's made something available. That's what we were talking about last week. An available reality. But just because he's made it available does not necessarily mean that we've accepted it. For example, to the earth, to every single human being, he has made available salvation. And there is still much of humanity that has not accepted what has been made available. So there are things that God has made available to us. And what he's trying to tell us over and over again, what I'm thankful for is that it's more than just salvation that he's made available to me. It's more than salvation. It's more than just I'm out of hell and in heaven. He's made more available. Salvation is available, yes. But if you believe the complete truth of God's word, then there's more. We're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. He has made healing available. He has made dominion and authority available. He's made peace available, love available, joy available, freedom available, truth available, purpose available. I thank God for what he did last week. Man, there was a freedom that was taking place. We were seeing the results. Freedom is an available reality. Absolutely. Absolutely. We don't have to buy into the lie that I just got to live with sin and I just got to cope with it and I just got to exist and this is just the way that it's going to be. This is the way I'm made. Have you heard that language? The work of Jesus Christ flies in the face of I was born in flesh and I was born in sin, because even though I was born in sin, he made a way for me to be free from sin. To be forgiven, to be redeemed, to be set on a new path. To the old man pass away and the new man to come to fruition. He said this, seek me and you will find me. That tells us that he has made himself available if we'll search. He's made himself available. God planted this in my heart this morning as I was praying. Time to let your search engine be transformed. We've been looking for hope at the wrong address. It's time to be transformed. Amen. This is the other thing that has been happening. And we've been talking about a new normal and an available reality, and I praise God that he's doing all of that. But there's another word, and actually, Pastor and I were talking about this. Just on Friday, but there's something that is stirring, and what we've been even seeing in services that are a part of this new normal and what is available to us, and that is simply this, and that is demonstration. Demonstration. You know, at the conclusion of Red Conference, the last day, that Sunday, they had a title for it, and that was Demonstration Day. It was demonstration day. So all that we learned over the course of the weekend, we would come into a Red Conference. You know what I love is that Turning Point has turned the page. I feel such a fresh anointing and unction, and in this house, I feel such a fresh season. Praise God for that. And what I find so interesting is that God used, just as he brought the first turning point into this city in 2003, he used. Amen. So thank you for being yielded to the Holy Spirit, for teaching us how to follow the Holy Spirit. It is the hour of demonstration, church. It is the hour and the day of demonstration. You know what happens every time I come back to this word? It says the same thing. It says the same thing every time I come back. Every time it says, today is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Every single time I open it up, it says, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of demonstration. This is the hour of demonstration. And I want to go into the reason why it is a little bit deeper. No longer is it a day of faith without works. Nor is it a day where we try to do works in order to get faith. Demonstration, listen to this, is the act or process of providing evidence. Demonstration is the act, the process of providing evidence. What is the world looking for? Always. Evidence. What can you point to? Listen to the other half of this definition. For the showing the truth of something. Demonstration is the act of proving, of providing evidence to show the truth of something. Truth is more than information, is what it's saying. Truth is more than knowledge. Truth is more than memory verses. The only way it can be defined as truth is if there's a demonstration. The only way that you can really call it a truth is if there's demonstration. And I don't know what this is right now, but I'm just, it's a rock walk. I don't know. Walking in the Spirit. Because the demonstration is what convinces and proves the evidence that something is true. So when James says faith without works is dead, he's saying there has to be something more than just words and more than just talk. All of creation demonstrates his glory and wonder. All of creation is a display. It is a demonstration of his glory. Why is Christianity so boring to unbelievers and believers alike? Is the missing of demonstration. We have the words and the talk, but little by way of activity and demonstration. And the thing is that faith only gets the chance to become real when it's activated. And when it's given the opportunity to be demonstrated. That's why Jesus left us with the Great Commission. It's active in nature. Go into all the world, preach the gospel to all of creation. Baptize them in the name of the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit. And these signs will follow them that believe. They will lay hands on the sick, and the sick will recover. The dead will be raised. Blind eyes will see. Deaf ears will hear. They will cast out demons. And nothing by any means shall harm them. There is an activity. God left us activity. My name, they'll cast out devils. Demonstration is what proves that something is true. In this way, Christ demonstrated his love toward us. Come on, let's go there together. In this way, Christ demonstrated his love toward us, that while were yet in sin, he died. He died for us. He died for us. He didn't just come preaching and teaching a kingdom. He came to demonstrate the kingdom. This is the kingdom. And what you may think is life is not life. I came to show you what the kingdom is all about. You say it's an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say love your enemy, because it is kindness, the kindness of God, that brings us to repentance. So if you'll work kindness and love, and faith will work by love, I'll show you a completely different life than anything this world has to offer. I do things opposite. Glory to God. I've come to demonstrate. I've come to show you a love you have no idea and have not seen to this point. I'll show you a love that forgives 70 times 7 every single day and not blink an eye.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Come to demonstrate by way of life, the life of Jesus was a demonstration. Every time he was an example, you put in demonstration. Sat the disciples down. One of the last things he did before he went to the cross, he sat the disciples down and he said, "Here, I show you a demonstration." And he began to wash their feet. The King of Glory, the Son of God, get low and to lower himself before these disciples. You guys just bear with me. Demonstrate. I'm doing this because this is what I want you to do for each other. Demonstrate. Your life is a demonstration. We are continually and consistently demonstrating something to everyone around us. Your children see the demonstration. Your brothers, your sisters, they see the demonstration. Your co-workers, they see the demonstration. Your spouse sees the demonstration better than anybody else. I'm sorry, sweetie. This morning, I was waiting on the way to the house of the Lord, and last night we got done with prayer as a family, and Joshua said, "Dad, can I go with you in the morning?" And my first reaction was like, "But you're going to be bored, first of all." No, I go super early, and you're not going to want to wake up that early, first of all. Second of all, what are you going to do the whole time? And I said, "Well, man, I just began to talk." I said, "Man, I get up really early." I said, what do you want to do?" He said, I just want to help." And so immediately I'm starting to think, okay, what can I get him to do? Said I can pray and just study and sure enough I woke up this morning and before I could wake him up, I decided, you know what, I'm gonna go ahead and wake him up, because how many times would I have liked for him to ask that, and how many other things can he ask? And if he asks to go with me to the house of God before church even starts, who cares if I don't find anything for him to do? He's in the atmosphere. He's in the place. It's a demonstration. Amen. So I was still getting ready, And Ivy tells me, he's already up. I hadn't even gone to wake him up, but he said he woke up. He said, Dad, I was afraid you left. You'd already left. And so he got up and got ready. He came with me. We were on our way in, and I felt impressed. This was not planned or anything. I just felt led to take him to one of the places that I pray. And so so we took a little detour, and went to the place. And I just told him. I said, Joshua, this is where I come and pray sometimes, and it helps me to break out of my normalcy. It helps me to kind of just change the pace and had some special moments here. So we're just gonna come out here, and you can pray if you want to. You can walk with me, but Daddy's just gonna walk around, and we're gonna pray. And he said, okay. So we went up there and just started praying, and I walked a few paces from him. It was probably about 30 feet, and I'm just praying, and I'm just walking, going back and forth, and I keep, you know, doing the dad thing. What's he doing? What's he doing? He's walking. He's pacing back and forth. I don't have any idea what he's praying. I can't hear him pray. All I know is that he's walking back and forth, and God began to speak to me. God began to speak to me. He's walking because you're walking. He's here because you're here. There's a demonstration that is taking place. He may or may not be having the same kind of communion with God that I am. But the truth is that it's being demonstrated. The life is being demonstrated before him. Unfortunately, there are times where I can tell you it has not been that great. And I've demonstrated anger and temper and all kinds of other things. Okay? Not up here to tell you I'm perfect. What I am here to tell you is that if we don't give them the demonstration, they won't know how to do it. They'll have no reference for it. What are they going to be able to do? And I'm up there, and all of a sudden, we're concluding, and we're about to come to the church. We had left at 5:30. He's like, Dad, it's so pretty in the morning. I don't know if he's ever been up that early in his life, or at least that he can remember. I'm like, Lord, I need to get this kid up earlier. This is so beautiful. And we're there, and I'm thinking about the story of Abraham and Isaac. And I said, Joshua, what are y'all laughing at? Don't worry, I calmed his nerves. I said, son, I'm not here to sacrifice you. But we had a special moment. I said, but I will tell you this. You belong to him more than you belong to me. That he's your father. And that was the test for Abraham, wasn't it? He wanted to see, God was checking to see, is your heart still for me above everything else? The intention was not to slay Isaac. Will you give me yourself, and will you give me your son? Will you give me your only son? And what was it? It was a foreshadowing to Christ. God has intended for us to be people of demonstration. The gifts, let me switch this a little bit here to the gifts and the leading of the Holy Spirit, because that is the direction that we take to be used in demonstration. Last week we had some incredible demonstrations that were taking place and that were moving. The thing is that if we stop, if we stop the flow of our lives at just having gotten the information. You see, the work of a pastor, and really the fivefold ministry, is for the equipping of the saints. The equipping. The equipping. Not just for the teaching, not just for the knowledge, not just for the information. Knowledge without that activity, without that demonstration, becomes dangerous. But it's to say, this is the evidence that what has been said is true.